Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
It's that time of year. Holiday shopping is probably on your mind, and you may be considering gift cards for your family and friends. Well, don't make that purchase until you've listened to this interview. My guest is Janine Skowronski. She is an analyst with Bankrate.com, and they've just done a study on gift cards and, you know, the ups and downs and pros and cons, and the fact that the electronic cards are becoming much and much more popular. So, Janine, walk us through a little bit of the findings of your study.
So the big finding was that 59% of all gift cards being offered are now offered electronically. That's up 18 percentage points from 2010.
May I stop you and ask you something? Does that mean that exclusively they're 50, they're, that, but if, let's suppose I wanted to buy a gift card from a merchant and it was only offered electronically, but it's for a relative who's not really online.
No, that usually, typically, they'll have a plastic option, and then
okay.
They'll have an electronic option
I'm sorry to interrupt your thought, but that just occurred to me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's pretty steady growth since 2010, I think 4% growth year over year. So it's increasingly popular, these digital gift cards.
Yeah, and I like the idea of not having to carry something around in my wallet. I mean, it seems to me like everybody wants you to carry a plastic card from your grocery store to your drugstore, your beauty shop. Everybody wants you to do these cards. So I love the idea, and I can understand why they're becoming more popular. So how do you use them? Do you load it on your phone? You load it on your computer? How does the recipient utilize this card?
It comes with a myriad of options. You can hop on your smartphone or you can hop on your computer desktop and you can pick a retailer. There should be a link somewhere on the site that will say buy a gift card here. You go to buy the gift card, you enter the amount, you enter either an email address or a phone number of the recipient, and then it gets sent to them in an email. Sometimes they send it in a text message with a QR code in it. Sometimes they send you a link to an email that's got an account number in it, and then you can just bring that phone or a printout of that email to the retailer, and they'll redeem it in the store.
Recipient can. Okay.
The recipient can, yeah.
Right. So I've gone online, and I've found a card that I want to give to my son, say. And I put in the amount and whatnot, and he's contacted. So it's really important for me to make certain that I'm giving them the correct information when I go online to make the purchase so that it goes to the right person.
Yeah, and I think for me, I know the first time I gave an electronic gift card, I gave it to my mom. And when I was prompted to enter personal information, I'm like, oh, I don't know if my mom wants me to give her email address away. So if that's a concern for you, there's two things you should know. One, the retailer generally isn't going to use that to spam the person. In fact, in a lot of places, there's like a little box you can check saying, you know, don't send me anything else.
Yes.
And two, if you're really uncomfortable, you could always send the gift card to yourself and then forward that gift card to the person or print the gift card out. Give it to the person in like a nice gift too. So there's workarounds to some of that.
So now the advantages are you can't lose it, right? Because it's there. Now what about?
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's a lot harder to lose because it's on your phone. So it's in your. It's either going to be in your text messages or in your inbox.
So you probably want to have some sort, especially if it's a large amount of money. You probably want to have some sort of safeguards on your phone so that someone can't just pick it up and access it.
Yeah, you want to password protect your phone, and that's just general. There's so much personal information on a smartphone that that's just general best practice. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you've set that up, and then you can send it to your friend or family, or you can send it to yourself, and you have the option of just printing it out. So when you print it out, so how does the recipient, so your mom, what did she do with when you gave her a gift card, an electronic gift card?
So what I did was I had the gift card sent to myself. I printed it out. It was for a restaurant, and I bought a cookbook from the chef, and I put the paper in with the cookbook, wrapped it up, and gave it to her, and she can just take that piece of paper to the restaurant and give it to them to to have it redeemed. If she were to lose that piece of paper, I could print it out again for her.
I see.
And provided nobody picked it up and found it, she'd be able to just use that one instead.
Okay. So this really is a significant change over the last few years, that the much greater use of electronic cards. And I'm sure merchants are saving money by not having to issue plastic cards.
There's so many incentives for both customers and merchants. You mentioned it earlier, how you don't want to carry a lot of cards in your wallet. And if you just think of mobile payments generally, you know, a credit card or a debit card, it's not hard to carry one of those around in your wallet. But if you get like $5 or $6 gift cards to your favorite coffee store, you're not going to carry those around. You're going to put them on your phone or in your app, and that's going to make your life a lot easier. And then the merchant is kind of guaranteeing that, you know, a lot of them, Starbucks, for instance, they paired it with a loyalty program. So now it makes it a lot easier to go in there, use that whole payments platform, frequent Starbucks, make more money, et cetera. It all kind of goes hand in hand. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons why this is good for consumers and good for retailers. Good for retailers as well.
With the retailers, how widespread is the use of electronic gift cards?
So we looked at 62 different gift cards. They weren't all retail gift cards, but it was 59% of all the gift cards that we looked at. And I don't have the exact stat of how many retailers had it, but it's much more prevalent in store cards than it is bank or network cards.
In stores, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you just hit on an important point. Tell our listeners the differences between the types of cards. A bank-issued card, a credit card-issued, which is through the credit card company, or a merchant-issued card.
So if you are looking into, and they're actually very popular, if you're looking into like a general purpose gift card, that's a gift card that's being issued by a bank or a network. That card is going to have more fees associated with it. Only like 7% of store cards, for instance, have a purchase fee, whereas they're really prevalent among general purpose gift cards. And that's because, you know, when you buy a store-specific gift card, the merchant is going to make money off of you just buying stuff in general, spending a little bit more than what's actually on the gift card, and then possibly converting you into a repeat customer. But when you're buying a general purpose gift card, the bank or the network, the only way they're really going to make any money is through fees. They'll get some swipe fee revenue, but it's really, you know, they're going to charge a purchase fee, they're going to charge an activity fee. If you lose the card, there could be a replacement fee. So those types of cards are very popular because you can use them everywhere. That's sort of the advantage. They're more you can use them at any kind of retailer that you want. It's almost like cash, but there are fees attached to it, and consumers need to be aware.
Yeah, I know that over the years I've talked about gift cards a lot on the air, and I've always warned consumers that they need to read the fine print. They need to understand what's in that document that controls the usage of those cards and the replacement policy and so on. And we're just going to take a brief pause here, Janine, to identify ourselves to our listeners, and then we're going to come right back and talk about some of these things and some of the pitfalls that consumers may not be aware of, you know, those fees and the cancellations and so on and so forth. Although there is a lot more law now, I think, that protects consumers when they buy gift cards. But at any rate, our listeners are tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Janine Skowronski. She is an analyst with Bankrate.com, and we're talking about a recent study that they did on gift cards. And they really are, the electronic cards are really beginning to take over the majority of cards that are being sold these days. Gift cards are electronic gift cards, which I think bodes well for consumers because losing them is a big deal. Okay, so let's go back now and talk about some of the fees. And you referred to this, that generally store cards are much less likely to have a fee attached to them. But do they also have expiration dates and things like that? Because that was one of the major complaints that people used to have, that, well, it expires after a year. Or if I don't use it within a certain period of time, the card starts losing value. What are some of the common problems with store cards, if there are any?
So legislation introduced back in 2010 definitely made gift cards more consumer-friendly, but it didn't eradicate fees and expiration dates entirely. So a store card can expire, as can a general-purpose gift card. Any gift card can expire. There's a little bit more of a lag time between when you buy them and when you expire. I think federal law is 5 years from the date that you purchase the card or you load funds onto it. But you still need to read the disclosures to find out if there's an expiration date and when it will apply. because it seems kind of crazy. 4 years, I'm definitely going to use this gift card, but you could throw that gift card in your drawer and completely forget about it and then, you know, have that gift card expire down the road. So you want to know.
Well, I know that you all in the past, I'm certain have done studies on how many people actually utilize gift cards. And the utilization rate was rather low, surprisingly. I suspect with them becoming available digitally, they're going to be better utilized as well.
Yeah, because you're carrying that card around with you. I mean, again, you're talking about real estate in your wallet. You make choices every day. Do I want to carry these $420, you know, gift cards around with me? Whereas if it's just on your phone and you happen to be in the retail store and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I have a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
You can just whip your phone out and you can redeem it. And so, yeah, it makes it a lot easier and it makes it a lot likely that you're going to actually skirt some potential expiration dates and use the card.
Now, if someone gives me a gift card that is a plastic version, can I convert that to digital? Electronic?
Electronic. Every gift card on the back, there should be a 1-800 number that you can call to ask about the terms and conditions and to see if they can send you an electronic version of the card.
So they would have to send me something that I could load. I'd send it to my phone or a text or whatever.
Yeah, you might have to give them some personal information. I'm not sure, but you could definitely find out by calling the customer service number on the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense because people listening to us may be thinking, well, I know my mom's going to give me a gift card and it's going to be plastic, so can I convert that to a electronic version? And I would imagine that merchants are more than willing to do that if they have the ability. So, and you don't have any sense of how many of them could do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we didn't look into that specifically in terms of the feature conversion features,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, by and large, they want to give good customer service and keep people happy. So I'm sure if they can technically do it, they will. But you have to call and ask. I don't know anything on specifically who can or cannot do it.
Right. Well, let's go back and talk about the general purpose cards and their fees. I suppose the smart thing to do is really to shop around and see what kind of fees are levied from the various cards. Would that be advice you'd give consumers?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about the legislation that I mentioned back in 2010 was that it also kind of mandated clear disclosure, so you should be able to find out on the card's packaging what the fees are. We were seeing purchase fees. Normal purchase fees were between $3.95 to $6.95. So I would say if you come across a product that's either on the higher end of that spectrum or over it, yeah, you might want to consider buying a different gift card.
Is it based on the value of the card or is it just a flat fee?
It's usually a flat fee.
Okay, so
some have caveats where the higher the dollar amount, the higher or lower the fee, but it's usually a flat fee.
Okay, so that's what you really want to consider when you're looking at the general purpose cards. Now, are there places that won't accept these general purposes cards? Let's suppose it's a bank card. Are they pretty much accepted anywhere?
Yeah, that's pretty much the big pro with them, and that's part of the reason that people like them. They're usually backed by one of the big networks, which means that like you can that card is accepted anywhere, like say Visa or MasterCard or Amex or Discover is accepted. So that's the big pro is that, yeah, you can use these pretty much anywhere.
Okay. So let's go over the fine print, which is the downfall of most of us, myself included. I find myself sometimes just not wanting to read all the fine print. Now, I would imagine that in doing your study that you had to go through and read the fine print. Did you find that some of these disclosures were easier read than others?
Yeah, I mean, that's with anything, but there should be, when you're buying the gift card in the store, they have to have, like, a clear disclosure of what
mm-hmm.
the fees are. So you, if you look at that packaging, it should be somewhere. And then also, if you don't want to go through the fine print of your gift card, or let's say you don't have it because you were on the receiving end, and usually
mm-hmm.
people don't give you, like, whatever the gift card came in, like I said, just call up the customer service on the back and ask. Don't, you know, drive yourself crazy. Let them, they'll want to help you and let them do it and tell you exactly sort of what.
Well, they want you as a customer, of course. They want repeat
right.
customers.
Right.
What about the usage of gift cards? Now, you're talking about the types of gift cards that are being used. What about the expansion of gift cards into the gift giving to family and friends? Is that rate growing?
So we saw this year 84% of people say they'd received a gift card and 72% said they had given one. And that's pretty consistent with year over year. I think maybe this year was a little bit higher than last year, but by and large, the numbers are pretty steady and pretty high. So gift cards are still really popular holiday gift.
Well, it's easy because it's not only easy, but also it means that you know that whatever you're giving, whoever you're giving this to, they can actually use it. They don't have to go back and exchange it or do something like that. I used to think that gift cards were kind of an impersonal ho-hum. I don't want to do that. Until I received a couple of them and I thought, you know, this is pretty cool. So.
Yeah. And the retailers are doing some really cool things with their e-gift cards that I was a little bit of a surprise to me, because you think, oh, God, that makes something that's already seems impersonal a little bit more impersonal. But there's a lot of options where you buy an e-gift card, you can put a picture of yourself on it, or you can upload a video of yourself. Maybe if you're buying your grandmother a gift card, you can put a video of you and the grandkids. And there's all these, like, cute ways that kind of make it a little bit more intimate and make the experience a lot different that are really tied to the digital mobile e-gift card trend.
I like that idea. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. Why not make it so that it's a little bit more personal? People don't feel like, well, they didn't even put any thought into giving this to me. Because actually, if they're like me, when I give a gift card to someone, I really do think about what are the other alternatives? What else would I want to give this person? And if it comes down to being a gift card, then I try to think of which kind of gift card. So anyway, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. My guest is Janine Skowronski. She is an analyst with Bankrate.com. Janine, just tell us a little bit about Bankrate.
So, yeah, Bankrate, we have lots of different things going on. You can come on, you can research current rates on CDs, credit cards, auto loans, mortgages, and we also put out a lot of personal finance content that can answer any questions that you have about all the things that I mentioned.
You all usually put out a lot of good consumer information, because I know I've used it over the years, and I find it's very dependable, very good info like this on the gift cards. I think this is the perfect time. Your timing was perfect in putting it out. Do people buy a lot of gift cards on Black Friday? Do you have any shopping trends there?
I'm not sure specifically on that day, and Black Friday gift card deals, where it's usually like electronics, appliances, and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I do know that, you know, Target just put their Black Friday deals out, and a gift card promo was part of it. So I think we're going to see more of that too, and people are going to start picking these things up on Black Friday while they're in stores.
Yeah, because if they want to do their shopping and that's on their shopping list, it would be a good time to do it. So why not? I think that's a very smart on the merchant's part. Okay, let's just go back now and talk about the major issuers of the all-purpose cards, the general cards that you can use anywhere, and you said they're pretty flexible. Let's suppose you're traveling and you have one of those, and you go into a department store that's also in the United States. Can you use it abroad?
I'm not sure. I mean, usually it's pretty much the rule of thumb is wherever the network that's accepted. So if it's a Visa card, if they accept Visa, you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a MasterCard, if they accept MasterCard, you can use it. If it's an Amex, they can use it. And if you're not sure, you can certainly try.
Well, and of course, if you've got kids who are traveling abroad and you want to give them a gift card, which is a little bit safer putting it on their phone than it is to give them cash, that might be a good way, and make sure the network services the country where they're going to be.
Yeah, I would say just if you're going to do that, I mean, you might want to just call and make sure that they won't run into any acceptance problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before you give them that as like their payment method. I mean, I think probably, you know, like a credit card or a debit card, like a credit card that didn't charge any foreign transaction fees and stuff, like travel's credit card would be good as well. So you've got a lot of options. But if you were thinking about doing that, I would call and definitely make sure that it can be used before you kind of went that route.
Any other things that came out of your study that would be of particular interest to our listeners?
Yeah, we asked them how often have you lost a gift card, and I was a little surprised. General population, it was only 24% said they had lost a gift card before they ever fully used it. But millennials, 40% of them said they had used a gift card. They had lost a gift card before they completely used it. And so we thought that was kind of interesting. And number one, I really thought that number would be higher. But then number two, I was a little bit surprised that there was one demo that was almost double everybody else.
Yeah. Well, that I guess that does say to us, let's give the kids gift cards electronically. So because right. And look, who isn't the millennial generation not on computer literate and smartphones and all that sorts?
Yeah, and we asked, had you used a mobile gift card? And millennials were the most likely to have done so, which makes sense because they've grown up with smartphones, but also they're losing these gift cards. So, of course, they would go to the
That's a good way to make sure you've got that money and you keep it and you use it for something. What about, did you do any part of this study to look at if you go in, and one of the complaints that we've had from people before is that when there's money, a small amount of money left over on the gift card, they found in some cases, and this used to be the case, and I don't know if this is the case now or not, it was difficult to get the merchant. You cannot get a refund. You have to purchase something else to use up that amount on the card. Let's suppose you have $5 left on your card. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to purchase something else. You're not going to get money back for it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe that's generally still true. I don't have any hard data on that. I can tell you that anecdotally, when I was doing the reporting from the story, a lot of the sources that I talked to said, yeah, gift cards definitely encourage people to spend a little bit more. They treat it like found money. It's not, you know, oh, I have $25, let me buy something for $25. If I have $25, let me buy something for $75.
Right.
The most common amount that people were giving per our survey was between $25 and $50, and that's not a ton of money. You know, if you go to like a high-end retailer, you're not going to be able to buy much with that. So I think you do need to be conscious of overspending if you have a gift card, and yeah, if you get down to the dregs, there's a chance that like they're gonna ask you to use that $5 on an item.
You're not gonna get it back. No.
Yeah, the general purpose cards, sometimes they'll send you like a check for what's left on the card, but you pay a fee for that.
That has been one of the complaints over the years about fees, and that consumers need to be absolutely certain that they read the fine print. And I like your idea. If you're a gift, it's a gift to you, contact customer service and just ask them. Ask them all the questions that we're talking about here today.
Yeah, and I had a question. I was trying some of these out, and I had a question about one, and I called up, and I got someone on the phone, and they answered it right away. So it doesn't – I know sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to call customer service and be on hold, but they're
not helpful. Necessarily, right.
Not necessarily, right. Exactly.
There are some companies out there that look out for us and treat us with a great deal of respect. Most of them do, actually, I think. I think our merchants do a good job generally, and certainly
– business.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, repeat customers. If you're unhappy with a business, you're likely to tell 7 or 8 people that you're unhappy. So getting those people back, when you lose a customer, it's kind of gets to be expensive for businesses. We only have about another minute. Do you have any other advice for gift card givers or users?
I think that for me, you know, we talked obviously about fees being associated with general purpose cards, but it was always a bit surprising to me that they were still very popular and people were still saying, oh, I want one of those, because if you're going to give a gift card, I think one of the easiest ways to make it more personal is to give somebody a gift card for a place that they really love. And so my overarching advice is it's quick and it's easy, but think a little bit about the recipient.
I like what you did with your mom, giving her a gift card to a restaurant and including it in a cookbook from the chef. I love that idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I suppose think about the recipient and don't be afraid to get a little creative, because it's a nice package that you can go out, they can use it on something that they want to buy, but then you also give them a little something too, and it's a lot of fun. You can play around with a lot of fun things.
Now, here's the big question, Janine. Has she been cooking for you from the cookbook?
We'll have
to talk to Mom.
My mother is an excellent cook.
All right. Good, Mom. Well, Janine, thank you so much for bringing us such great information. You've been tuned into Off Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest with Janine Skowronski. She's an analyst with Bankrate.com, and we've been discussing gift cards. The move towards digital gift cards is just electronic gift cards, is a wonderful thing for consumers because it protects you from loss. And I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at Shirley@callforaction.org, and thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.